Good morning. Today is Monday, May the 30th, 154th day of the new year. I guess you could say happy Memorial Day. It kind of seems a little... Yeah. Memorial Day. Cross purposes.
We're observing Memorial Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Our quote this morning... Mike Wilcott from... What do we say it? Security National, I guess, would probably be the simplest way. Rather than servicing or properties.
That covers it.
Yeah.
Security National.
Yeah. Our quote this morning is not anything to do with wars. But it is, however, more of a comment on society. Most men of education are more superstitious than they admit.
Huh.
Yeah.
Think about that one.
Well, you know, how many tests did you take in school?
Quite a few.
Did you ever pray?
Frequently.
See?
Okay.
Didn't take long to bring them together. Mike had the opportunity a couple weeks ago now to attend a convention. And, yeah, most of us hear about conventions of one sort or another. I think I've been to three different types. Radio, broadcasters, and retail, the gift show.
Mm-hmm.
But this ain't one of those. This is one that's a little bit different. So Mike, why don't you set up the tee this one up just a little bit? And what was the convention and why?
The convention we attend annually. It's held in Las Vegas about the middle of May every year. It's called ICSE. The acronym stands for the International Council of Shopping Centers. So it's interesting. It's about, I think they said there's somewhere around 44,000 people. It takes over the entire Las Vegas Convention Center. And the exhibitors there run the gamut, everything, you know, from the people that make and sell trash bins and parking lot sweepers and playland equipment to large multinational companies that develop and manage huge shopping malls. And really now
it's impressive for you to say huge, because that doesn't sound like, you know, I mean, most of us think arcly, we think huge.
This is the Super Bowl of
this is like the Minneapolis, the Super Mall.
Correct.
And things like that?
Yes. Okay. And that actually, I think Mall of America now is barely within the top 10 for largest malls in the country. So,
really?
Yeah. That used for years was the largest. But
that was the big one.
I believe we have one actually down in the Bay Area now that's a repurposed auto assembly plant that now dwarfs that.
Does it have its own zip code?
It should. The Mall of America has also just recently, within the last few years, been expanding as well. So it's always bigger, better. And really what we're seeing is a transition away from the stereotypical mall, enclosed mall, to a design now called a lifestyle center, which will be open air and have a different venues, things like skating rinks, movie theaters, indoor enclosed soccer fields, I mean, things that appeal to a vast demographic of people to drive foot traffic.
Now, yeah, obviously it still has to pencil out somehow.
Correct.
Put a soccer field in the middle of it? I mean, the other guys got to be pulling a little bit more than their normal weight then.
That's true, but a lot of retail leasing gets down to foot traffic. And
just bodies in the hall?
If you can substantiate the foot traffic counts that your more traditional retailers are going to benefit from, then it offsets, you know, perhaps getting no rent or lower rent for other non-traditional type uses.
KINS, news information, and we got lots of those opportunities around here, huh?
We do.
It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilcott.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilcott. Mike, as we consider some of the different options that are out there for malls, is your guys' reality? I mean, the lifestyle concept to me, duh. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like a shopping center or a neighborhood. That would make sense. And you have the certain business mixes to have that get together. Can you convert an existing mall into that, or is this new construction?
A lot of it gets down to the footprint that you have. If you have adequate acres under ownership and management, it gives you optionality either by reconfiguring the main shopping area, if you will, the mall itself, or by creating out parcels. Being able to bring in other different types of users on out parcels. A lot of times what you'll also see are the older enclosed malls that get converted to big box sort of.
Go in and blow them up kind of thing?
Yeah, and I think Bayshore Mall is actually a good example of that, where you see some of these larger national tenants come in. And for a variety of reasons, it makes sense for the owner management company to do that. And I think that's a trend that we'll definitely see continue. That said, you know, one thing, we're very blessed to live where we do with the temperate climate we have here. So I can promise you go to St. Paul, Minnesota in January, or Montana, or Iowa, and people actually drive to enclosed malls, if nothing more than to have an indoor heated place to walk around
and do something.
It's something to do. It's something to go in and you know, be protected from the elements. So those, I've been in, you know, lifestyle malls that are outdoor shopping centers, and in the middle of winter, and it's not a fun or pleasant experience. So I think there's a need for both, depending on what your demographics are and what the geography is.
So is that a relatively recent trend?
No, it's been around for a while. I think, if anything, it's probably continued. I think it lends itself to the trends in retail right now, where you see less users, perhaps, and some declining the square footage. The retailers that are out there now are getting very smart in how they lay out their spaces so that they can minimize the square footage that they're taking, for obvious reasons, to minimize their costs.
How crazy does it get? I can remember going to Opryland, and Dollywood was right next door. And it was like, oh gosh, can you imagine, you know, if the kids knew about that kind of symbiotic relationship? And I suppose the same thing is true with Disneyland, owning both properties. Mm-hmm. Is that something that is part of this, the entertainment almost superseding the mall itself, and that instead of having one draft off the other, it's kind of going the other way?
I think that's exactly right. And I would actually go beyond that and say, if you were to look at sports venues that have been built recently within the last, 5 to 10 years, if you go down to a Giants game or, you know, one of the newer ballparks, what you'll see is venues, things that have been created, areas of entertainment for people that may not be your traditional baseball fan. So, somebody is in the stands with doing the box score themselves, watching the game, their family members can be out, you know, behind the right field wall, you know, pitching gun machine, or trying to hit off a machine, or, you know, they'll even have pools, something like that. And so I think it's very much the same way with retail now. And there again, you're trying to attract an entire family, so that perhaps there's one individual in the family that's actually interested in shopping. And so it's not so much a matter of having to drag the kids along. What you mentioned earlier, the Mall of America, in the center, it's a large theme park. And so the kids
can go there. Water slides.
Correct.
Roller coasters. And, I mean, that kind of
and
stuff.
And then there's an entire group of hotels and restaurants that have sprung up around that. And in fact, the airlines and local travel agencies have package deals where people will fly in expressly for the purpose. And Mall of America happens to be right by the airport. So people, I've been on flights to Minneapolis where there will be a family that's going for a long weekend, and the kids get to go to the theme park and go on the water slide, while mom and dad get to go do shopping and whatnot.
Boy, that's so a lot different than driving down to Santa Rosa, isn't it?
It is. Different experience.
Is this as a trend, that's one thing. Is this the salvation of malls or concentrated shopping because so much is now virtual or on computers and it's not a tactile experience, so now it has to be more an experience rather than just being able to put your paws on the towels?
I think there are two answers to that question. One is time will tell. I think it's a reality of the market. Obviously, with online commerce, it's a fundamental paradigm shift in retail across the country and globally, for that matter. I think a lot of it also depends on the markets in which the properties are located. Again, some people like to go to the mall just to have something to do and to go window shopping. There's a vast portion of our population that still likes that tactile experience. And, you know, for those of us that have tried to purchase clothing online only to be sadly disappointed when it finally arrives, there's something to be said for being able to go down and try a sport coat on before you purchase it. So I think it's a trend we'll definitely see continuing. E-commerce is not going away. It's obviously something that was discussed and people were talking about at the ICSC last week. And I think it's really a matter of adapting, and we'll continue to see that trend going forward.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more with Mike Wilcott.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilcott from Security National. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Mike, the seminars, the floor, the convention, the whole nine yards. When you go to that, it's got to be an interesting dynamic, because when I go to mine, it's there's two kind. Yeah, but there's probably three kinds of attendees, typically, that aren't exhibitors types.
Mm-hmm.
There's the big boys, mm-hmm. the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they're there. I don't know what they do there, but they're there. Okay. You've got the operators of businesses, and then you got the owners of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on who you talk to, who's the most valuable of all those, you got the regulators that are there. For us, it's the FCC and some of the others. And seminars is really what drives it. The exhibit floor is kind of the new cool stuff, but that's for the big boys more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
How is your convention laid out? Because I can't imagine there's – if you're there, you're not Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Rob's there, he may be able to buy a bunch of this stuff, mm-hmm. and just boom and it's over, mm-hmm. rather than being exposed, mm-hmm. to the product. So when you guys go there as land owners and looking to develop leases and develop new relationships – How does that one play out? How does that dynamic work?
Well, first and foremost, we're there to make deals. And this is, for us, a great opportunity to meet face-to-face with national retailers that we have existing relationships with. And we're either looking to extend those relationships at existing locations or expand it in markets in which we own properties that they
may not. So does Bob Target attend this? And you guys try to get an appointment with him for those stores or whatever the names are,
yes.
Obviously. So they will attend, and you bust your chops to see if you can get
Correct.
An hour of their time.
Correct. And the schedule making for this goes back about 6 months. We've been booking calendars since the beginning of the year for this, because those real estate reps do book so quickly. And you know, a lot of your appointments may only have 15 minutes for you. So you need to come in and show them what you have, show them the demographics, and either try and, you know, lever a deal at a new location or, you know, and sometimes it's just a meet and greet. It's just a hello, good to see you, how have you been? You know, because in this day and age of electronic media and whatnot, there's there's still a lot to be said for a handshake and a look in the eye. I mean, we last year we had a meeting with a gentleman that started a shoe store with one location in South Carolina, and I think he has something like 1,200 locations now. And, you know, we met with him for about 30 seconds, pitched a location to him, and he said, well, the real estate committee has met, and the real estate committee has approved your proposal. And with a handshake, that was that. So that was all in the course of, like I said, 2 or 3 minutes. So there's really nowhere else or no other time where we as leasing people can, you know, get that sort of immediacy and contact. And so you're right. You do see an entire array of people there in various capacities. You have the grizzled veterans who are all wearing their really comfortable shoes. And then you have the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed new college graduates in their, you know, perfect suits and highly polished penny loafers.
Isn't it interesting how you can tell it's the bottom and the top?
I can tell you this.
The shirts and the shoes.
About 16 years ago was my first convention, and I was the guy in the suit and polished penny loafers, and someone from the company I was working for at the time, who had been there probably 20 plus years, came out of the room, took one look at my outfit, and just kind of chuckled to himself and said, you'll be in your running shoes by Wednesday. And sure enough, it's a war of attrition. I think this year on my phone, it tracks such things, but I covered about 16 miles in 2 days walking around just from convention hall to convention hall. And to answer your first question, it's broken up. Basically, there is a hall designed just for leasing. Then there's a more generalized hall for your lenders, your real estate companies. And then there's another hall, which is your service providers, your people trying to sell vacuum trucks. You see some, there's some celebrities there, some sports figures. I saw Emmitt Smith this year. He, after he retired from the NFL, he's now opened a real estate company and followed in the footsteps of Roger Staubach, who actually has a huge
big footprint.
Very big footprint. So it's really fascinating, especially coming from Little Eureka to go swim with the big fishes for a few days.
Yeah, the whipsaw has got to be kind of
definitely
intriguing.
Definitely, yeah.
So when you're sitting down with one of these folks, you're trying to sell the market as much as whatever amenities might be contained within your guys' facilities?
It really is market driven. The primary focus of these real estate reps are your demographics, your population, 1, 3, 5 mile radius population, average household income. Those are your big drivers. Foot traffic, traffic counts on the road out in front of your property, aerial maps, Google Earth maps showing their competitors. Where's my competition in this market? Where are the competing properties in this market? It really is a science.
So you got to prepare for each of your meetings with that in mind.
Absolutely. You also have to know what their hot buttons are, which varies on a retailer by retailer basis. So tenant mix is very important to them as well. They know based on prior experience, this could be a good situation for us, or this is going to be a very, not a good situation, in which case they say, we'll talk next year.
Based on demographics or based on income or based on trending?
It's all part of the same thing with the demographics. It really drives. They also want to know what other stores are doing in sales on a per square foot basis. So they'll have
Is that ethical to share?
We
or
can
do you
speak
do like in, ranges?
Yeah, we can speak in generalities. But the reality is, frankly, most of the time they'll already know. I mean, there's so much cross-pollinization, shall we call it, between the retailers. I mean, we met with
Market research.
We met with one real estate rep this year who is now working for his fourth company in the last 6 years. So they just pick each other off and jump ship and go, they get a better offer. And so he knows what all is, and that's part of the reason why they poach other real estate reps from other companies.
To get that
information. So they have that market knowledge. So,
wow. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilcutt.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilcott. Mike, some of the different stuff that you guys do when you're out of the area is really cool. It's kind of fun for us to see outside the bottle and, you know, what some of the other guys are doing. But you guys, there's also been some discussions over the last little bit about you got the North Spit, you got some of the properties, you know, along the waterfront. I guess the balloon track right now is kind of in limbo. Or hiatus or hibernation or whatever, whatever the proper terminology might be.
I'll let you search for that.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, hang yourself, son. Okay. What's going on springtime? Because I know Rob was excited about some of this stuff starting to break ground right around now.
Well, the last time I was here, it was a few months ago, we were still working through the entitlements and permitting phase for one of the oyster mariculture facilities. I'm happy to report that just within the last couple of weeks, we've broken ground on that project. So probably within 60 to 90 days, we should have a facility built there, and then we'll be turning it over to them, and they can fixture it and really ramp up their operations. And I have a second group, a larger group that I'm working with as well. And right now, we're trading documents back and forth, and attorneys have gotten involved in a good way.
That's progression, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, in a good way, yes. We're still, everyone's in the honeymoon phase still, so everybody loves everyone, and we're just working on a finalized document. So I would expect that's probably 6 to 9 months away, and then another large facility of a different type, and I apologize if I'm not being very
This sounds like specific. Good news. There's no need to apologize for good news.
We have good things going, especially out on the peninsula there. And then, you know, one of the things I'm sure Rob has talked about here previously is, you know, his desire to work on some warehouse type property here in Eureka. And that's something we're pretty excited about. And working, you know, these things take so long. It's interesting how you work on something for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then, you know, just one day the tractor shows up and you start excavating, and there it is. And so that's very gratifying to get to that point. But hopefully here within the next few months, we'll have more to announce.
Good deal. Hopefully we'll be able to have your smiley face in here. You know what? Maybe you can squeeze in when Rob comes to town. Both of you guys.
Wow. Could you handle that?
Maybe. Okay. At least he would know that you were working that day. There's benefits there, bud.
Mr. Arkley always knows I'm working.
Oh, I see. It's Mr. Arkley. Fine. Thank you very much. You know he's listening. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
And everybody, Memorial Day, we want to encourage everybody to go out, spend a little bit of time, reflect on, you know, wander a graveyard, you know, spend a little bit of time with those guys and gals that have the flags there in front of their memorials. See you tomorrow morning.